Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thank you, Steve. This week's show is rather special. In honor of our 100th podcast, Work Camper News editor Jody Duquette and her husband Luke opted to record a special show to commemorate the milestone. Today's episode is sponsored by Work Camper News, a magazine and online publication that connects RVers to full and part-time jobs around the country. Whether it is running a business from your RV or working short-term jobs for a variety of employers, Work Camper News can give you information to help you plan a course to live your own dream and get you on the road faster than you thought possible. For more information about opportunities to live, work, and play in your RV, visit www.workcampernews.com. Jody and Luke Duquette recalled the key historical highlights of Work Camper News that took place during the past 33 years since its founding in 1987 by Greg and Debbie Robus in the tiny town of Heber Springs, Arkansas. Back in the late 1980s, Greg and Debbie were familiar with the work camping concept and trademarked the name. They would compile a variety of job announcements and informational articles into a publication that was typeset and printed locally before being stapled, folded, and mailed to subscribers who paid $15 a year to receive the newsletter. Within 8 years, the newsletter grew from 8 to 24 pages. That's when the stapled publication was reformatted into a magazine. But employers wanted a way to reach prospective work campers between magazine issues, so the concept of a hotline was developed. All the new ads were read into an answering machine message that people could hear by dialing a special telephone number. All of this was pre-internet. When the internet arrived, everything started transitioning online. Email was used to deliver the daily job listings, and Work Camper News developed its first website. One of the major advertisers at the time was Adventureland Amusement Park in Iowa. Steve Anderson, Jody's father, was the human resources director for the park and the man responsible for hiring lots of work campers. Because he had purchased so much advertising, Steve developed a close relationship with the Robus family. At some point around 2005, Steve and his wife Kathy Jo, along with Greg and Debbie, were all at a point where they each wanted to do something new. So the Andersons wound up acquiring Work Camper News. Jody joined the team in 2006 and through a happy coincidence hooked up with Luke in 2010. It's a fascinating story about how the planets just seem to align to get everyone to this point. To tell us more about the history of the Work Camper organization and what's in store for the future, I'm going to turn over the program to Jody and Luke Duquette.
Hey everyone, I'm Jody Anderson Duquette and I'm here with
Luke Duquette.
That's my hubby, and we are part of the family that owns and operates Work Camper News. And for the 100th episode of our podcast, we thought we'd do something a little different, and we wanted to give you the history of Work Camper News. We've been around since 1987, over 33 years now. That's almost as old as we are.
Almost.
Hard to believe. It is older than our cats. Actually, we don't have cats that old.
Thank God.
Anyway, so Work Camper News was started by a couple named Greg and Debbie Robus.
In a little town called Heber Springs, Arkansas.
That's right. We're in central Arkansas, the southern end of the Ozark, quote, mountains, as they say.
Those are big quotes.
Yeah, big quotes for little mountains. Anyway, so Greg and Debbie Robus. Yeah. So Greg was a park ranger for the Corps of Engineers, and he hired gate attendants seasonally to help them operate the campgrounds. And the gate attendants that he would interact with often would ask how they could find similar jobs at other Corps properties around the country. And at that time, there really wasn't a resource for them. The Corps of Engineers didn't really have one, and one just didn't really exist. Again, this was in the 80s. I don't know how people communicated then. I mean, was it like stone tablets, like great, like smoke signals? I don't even remember.
At that point,
maybe people faxed things. I don't remember. Anyway, so
just so you know, we're 37.
Yeah. We remember the time before the internet.
We do.
But anywho, so Greg realized that there was an opportunity here. And so there were people wanting to take these opportunities, and having worked with these folks, most of them were retired or semi-retired, and they had great work ethic and an adventuresome spirit and loved living in their RVs. And so working with Debbie, they decided to create a resource for businesses that could benefit from hiring these individuals, and of course the people themselves who wanted to take these jobs. And so what they came up with is that they would publish a newsletter. So Greg started contacting Corps of Engineer Projects as well as other entities, mostly in the outdoor hospitality industry, to see if they wanted to recruit this special workforce. And they started it in their home, and it began as just a simple 8-page newsletter. It was $15 for a yearly subscription then. And so what they had when they started, Debbie's mom was actually an RVer as well. Her and her husband would travel. And so Debbie's mom, Arlene, wrote most of the article and educational content. And then Greg and Debbie went to work getting the help wanted advertising that comprised the rest of the newsletter. And for many years, it was just a family affair.
Mm-hmm.
They worked in their home, and they had the newsletter printed in town, and then they would mail it and stamp it and
staple it.
And yeah,
and they put it in envelopes, and
they have many tales of the good old days
having mail newsletter parties.
Yeah, with their whole family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool, and they have a lot of fond memories of that. But initially, early on, growth was just due to word of mouth. Again, pre-internet, that's how a lot of small businesses just got started. But in 5 years' time, the newsletter grew from 8 pages to like 24 pages, and they had multiple thousands of subscribers by that time. And it just continued to grow from there. More, employers came on board, as well as work campers. And so in the late 90s, they switched to more of a magazine-like format, and then they had the printing company actually start mailing the copies, so they didn't have to do all of that work. And so things just kept growing, which was really amazing. And the way, and we still do it this way now, but our magazine is bi-monthly. It comes out every other month. And sometimes the employers that are recruiting work campers miss the deadlines for the magazine or the newsletter that Greg and Debbie was doing. And so they needed an avenue that was in between the publication to help employers get the word out about their jobs. And so in 1993, consulting my notes here, 1993, the hotline was added. And those of you who are members with us now, hopefully you're familiar with the hotline. It's a weekday email that comes out with the job listings. But back in the day, the hotline was old school.
Recorded voicemail message. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie would record all of the new job listings for the day and put it on a phone system that people could call and listen to the recording of those job listings.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing to think about doing
it
that.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. So that's how the hotline got started back in 1993. And then in 1996, Work Camper News officially went online, and the first version of the website was launched. Ooh. Woo! 1996. And then fast forward about 4 years later, the hotline got converted into a daily email format. So Debbie got to stop doing those frequent recording and voicemail messages. So really, what's the word? Rocketed into the future.
Indeed.
I'm making a motion. You guys can't see it, but if you could see it, you'd understand what I was trying to go for there.
She's rocketing with her arm.
I'm rocketing. Yes, thank you. Exactly. So, all right. So all this time, the Robuses are still working out of their home, making all of this awesome stuff happen, connecting employers with the work campers and just growing. And so at that point, they knew they needed some help. So in the year 2000, Work Camper News got its first employee named Bill Albright, and he stayed on staff for 13 years and just a super awesome fellow. Couldn't be a nicer guy. He was also a part of the Corps of Engineers as well. Mm-hmm, so he was very already familiar with work camping and campgrounds and the whole Shimoli. So, all right. Moving forward a little further into the future, in 2003, Work Camper News got its own office building. They moved it out of their house. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And but the office was another house.
That's right. It wasn't a big one either.
No, it wasn't a very big one, but it was technically a commercial office. Yes. So they had their own workspace then. Now, through many of the years of their growth and expanding the resources that the Robuses were providing to their employers and the work campers, they got connected with an entity called Adventureland Amusement Park in Iowa. And the HR director at the time at Adventureland Amusement Park was Steve Anderson. And so he worked with Greg and Debbie for many years, just running Help Wanted advertising to help develop and expand the work camper program that he created there. And so during those years of advertising, Steve got to know the Robuses pretty well and developed a really good relationship with them. And Steve always had an entrepreneurial spirit himself. And so he related well to Greg and Debbie in their entrepreneurial spirit too. And they worked together, even while Steve was still at Adventureland, they worked together on developing the Awesome Applicants resume system. Because before, oh, and I forgot to mention this, before they had the resume system, Greg would...
Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if it was like a form, like work campers maybe filled out a form and then mailed it in, and Greg would keep them filed, and an employer would call Work Camper News and kind of give some details about what the employer was looking for. And Greg would like rifle through all these forms that these work campers had filled out to try to pick out some applicants that he thought matched what the employer was looking for. So it was like a very like...
I think they were basically resumes, but yeah, it was probably a very manual process. Greg had intimate knowledge of all the different people and all their different skills. And,
exactly.
I mean, it's very impressive. And yeah, you can tell he had a passion for doing what he was doing.
For sure.
But
it could not be sustained.
It couldn't be sustained that way. Yeah.
And with the advent of the internet and, you know, it becoming more secure as far as being able to put your information out there and things like that, it was a natural progression that would be developed into some kind of online service. So
right.
Steve worked with Greg and Debbie to develop that Awesome Applicants resume system, mostly just because he needed more resources for recruiting these work campers.
Yeah.
Because Adventureland loved their work campers. Work campers, like Greg had found, have such great work ethic and would show up on time, were committed, would follow the rules, you know.
Not calling sick
so much. And yeah, so just a really great workforce.
Now,
so,
mind you, it's an amusement park, which normally hired, you know, 16-year-olds. So you don't have to try too hard to be a little better than them. But work right. campers typically are a wonderful resource.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, so that's how that those two parties got connected. So, and they actually took a couple trips together. Now, it may surprise you, but Greg and Debbie, not really big RVers. Okay, Debbie's mom traveled a lot in an RV, and so Debbie and Greg lived vicariously through a lot of Arlene and her husband's travels. But Greg and Debbie really didn't RV very much. They did get an RV and had one for a while, and they did do some live events over the years.
Like Quartzsite and...
They did, yeah. They
exactly, but I remember
they did a couple job fairs, I think, like a long, long time ago. A few job fair events and just some live things here and there. So Steve and Kathy Jo is Steve's wife, And Kathy Jo worked at the amusement park as well. And that's actually how Steve and Kathy Jo met. But that's a whole other story. So anyway, so Steve and Kathy Jo and Greg and Debbie did some traveling together early on while Steve was still recruiting for the amusement park. But that just solidified their relationship further. So, all right, where are we at now? So we connected Steve and the Robuses, and so Greg and Debbie had really done a lot and had grown Work Camper News exponentially, you know, over the time. But they were just kind of wearing out. It's a lot, and even now it's just a lot to operate this beast. And so they were just ready to maybe do something different. So, but supposedly, as the story goes, so Steve and Kathy Jo say that Greg and Debbie approached them, but Greg and Debbie say that Steve and Kathy Jo approached them. So whoever approached whoever, it came about that Steve and Kathy Jo Anderson purchased Work Camper News from Greg and Debbie Robus in 2005. And I'm sure you guys are like wondering, okay, at some point you guys said who you were. And so anyway, so that leads to us as well. So in 2005, Steve and Kathy Jo bought Work Camper News, which, as we've discussed, was mostly a bi-monthly magazine. And conveniently, Steve and Kathy Jo's daughter, Jody, which is me, was in college at the time getting a graphic design degree. I mean, that's like, what's the...
Kismet.
Thank you. Or serendipity, whatever right, those... Yeah, one. Any of those kinds of words. Right. So anyway, the universe was aligning.
Exactly.
All right. So in 2005, Steve and Kathy Jo moved from Iowa down to Arkansas and started working with Greg and Debbie to take over operations. And then in 2006... I graduated from college and moved down to Arkansas to become a full-time member of the Work Camper News team. And that was 14 years ago. Ooh. That's crazy.
That is crazy. Wow. So 2006. Yeah. You've been here a while.
I have. Yeah. It's been a good ride. So once my family kind of took over operations, you know, we did things and kept things going the same, but we also then started developing ideas of how we wanted to add and enhance the resources. So the first thing really that kind of occurred was we hired on a new web programmer. His name was David. He was a work camper, actually. And so he came on board and he developed a new version of workcamper.com. And things continued to go like gangbusters. In January, February of 2008, we had the largest number of help wanted ads in our magazine and everything was rocking. As many of you know, 2008 then, our country kind of hit a bit of a slump and things kind of turned down. Work Camper News did a little bit of as well, but luckily not enough to hinder operations. We have always been able to keep ourselves above water, thankfully, and thanks to our members and employers for helping us do that. All right, so we had the new version of the website that launched in 2007. Also in 2008, even though things were kind of rocky on the economic side, we did do some live job fairs. And that was something Greg and Debbie had done in the past, and it went pretty well, so we wanted to try it for ourselves too. And so we hosted a couple job fairs in Arizona and Florida. We just had employers come in and set up booths, and we had a few instructors there giving educational seminars about RVing and work camping. And they went pretty well. But doing those live events, just there's a lot of costs involved. And so it was just something that we knew we couldn't sustain doing all the time. So that's why we tried it once and we knew it wasn't financially sustainable. So that's why we basically only did it that one time. So anyway, things were flowing and going. And so during that time, it was my mom and dad and me and Bill Albright. And then we also had like an accountant and another part-time office person that helped. But then, luckily, in 2010, I met, well, I didn't meet him, but...
Oh.
Enter Luke in 2010. And so...
we knew each other from high school. We had actually gone to school together in Iowa, and I actually dated her best friend for a while, so we knew each other. We were acquainted, and we hadn't talked since
graduation,
so it had been about 8-9 years, and Jody looked me up on Facebook, I think. You looked me up, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
Okay. And,
anyway, we got to talking, a little more, and then...
We got married.
Yeah, it didn't take too long.
No, I lassoed him down
from
Iowa to Arkansas, and
Luke
wasn't going to work in the business. He had his own job, and then he was working remotely from home, but... I don't know if any of you guys have ever been in a family business before, but that kind of tends to be like the only thing that you talk about at dinner and hanging out and doing things with your family. You're basically just talking about work all the time.
Yep, basically.
And so Luke was like...
When I see a need that needs filled and I have the skills to fill it, I feel like I need to do that. So
absolutely.
You know, being called or whatever, but...
Exactly. And we were very glad to have him come on board. So in 2010, he officially became part of our family and part of our work family.
What are you doing, cat?
And just by the way, one of our cats is now playing in a box behind us.
The cat traps are working, Jody.
They are. So if you hear any noises in the backgrounds, just blame the cats, okay? So anywho, all right. So we're at 2010. And in 2010, we really started growing our educational library. So we'd been facilitating, you know, helping work campers find these jobs, helping employers connect with work campers. But we just kept hearing from members that they, you know, needed more help on getting started, how to do this right, or I've encountered difficulties, things aren't going how I want them to. So we knew we needed to provide more education to help you guys know what to do, when to do it, and all of that.
And how.
So so that's when we started developing Work Camper University. And with that came lots and lots of webinars.
And I feel like we never stopped.
It's true. We are a big fan of the webinar and creating good content for our members. And with Work Camper University, that connected us with industry experts. And one of those industry experts was Terry Cooper. And he had, at that time, the Mobile RV Academy. And so we worked with Terry Cooper and his wife, Aveda Cooper, and developed some online courses. We also had Jamie Hall Brusnack as a writer for our magazine and the website doing Work Camper Viewpoint. And then we just connected with some others in the industry. And so we were doing these online things, and we thought, well, maybe we could do this in person too. And luckily, at the time, Heber Springs had built a new community center, and in the community center were these great meeting rooms with projectors and chairs and tables and
sound systems and microphones, speaker systems.
Yeah.
In addition to a gym and a big pool and track and basketball courts and
it's
a real big facility and very nice.
Super nice. And it's like you can see it from the Work Camper News office. It's crazy close.
Yeah.
And so we thought, all right, it's time to put on a live event again. And we can do it right here in our hometown. And that savings of not having to travel and get all the presenters out there and all of that.
All the things.
So all of the cost savings enables us to do what we call the Work Camper Rendezvous. And that got started in 2011.
Man. Can't believe it was that long ago.
I know.
Our first rendezvous.
Yeah.
And then crazily, we thought we should do them twice a year. So we did that for
a couple of years.
But then it's a lot of work to do on top of the already lot of work that it is running Work Camper News. So
And we had more people attend the October event than the April event. Yeah. So that's why we kept with the October dates.
Yeah.
Yep. And so that's been happening annually. It didn't happen in 2020, of course, because of this fabulous pandemic happening. But hopefully we'll continue into the future as it as it had in the past. And mm-hmm. and Heber Springs is really great. I mean, there's multiple campgrounds in the area, commercial and Corps of Engineer. We've got a Walmart, multiple restaurants, things like that. And it's just, it's a beautiful place to visit. And so we enjoy bringing the presenters to our hometown and, of course, having all the members, whether dreamers, existing work campers, coming to the rendezvous. And it's a really great week. It's actually like, it was kind of our first experience of interacting in person with our members.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
Because it's
most of the time it's all just over the phone or via email.
Yeah.
We hadn't met a lot of them, a lot of you, face to face.
That's so. Right. So it really, it filled our cup mm-hmm. When we would do rendezvous. I'm pretty sure I think I cried pretty yeah. much every time.
I think you're about to cry now just thinking about it.
That is accurate. That is accurate. Sorry. All right. So 2011, we started doing that. And like I said, you know, the owners of Work Camper News really weren't big RVers. And it was the same for Steve and Kathy Joe. They'd never owned an RV. And Luke and I had never owned an RV because we were just, I don't know, 20-somethings at the time. So it just hadn't happened for us. So anyway, in 2012, Work Camper News got their first RV. Dun, 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 dun. It was a 32-foot Class A gas motorhome. Yep. And
Challenger.
Yeah. And we equipped our small SUV to tow behind it. Mm-hmm. And so we did a few things with that. We did a couple. We did a local RV show. And then Steve and Kathy Joe took it That's on right. a couple trips. I think they went to a Talladega race.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And wrote an article about that. And then Luke and I went to Yellowstone.
Ah, yes.
Yes. And then came back and wrote the largest feature ever. And that was actually our biggest issue, too, of the magazine that we put together. It was a 76-pager when we came back from Yellowstone and compiled all of that. Oh, my gosh. That was amazing. Mm-hmm. So that really gave us the RV bug.
Yeah.
And so we didn't actually keep that RV for long, so we sold that RV, and then Steve and Kathy Joe got a diesel pusher Class A, and Luke and I got a fifth wheel and big old truck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we each had our own living spaces, because at that point, we decided to try doing live educational events in other places. We'd had many members say, I can't come to Arkansas in October. You gotta do an event at another time. So we attempted an event in Florida mm-hmm. and an event in Southern California in January.
Yep, that's right. We called it Discovery Days.
That's right. And guess what, folks? It was less attended than our rendezvous.
Much less. I think we had, I don't even remember, maybe 40 people.
Yeah, I forget. It wasn't, I mean, it was still great.
It was
and
a lot of fun. It and everybody was. Enjoyed it.
And of course, we like traveling to those destinations. But again, our costs for getting there, our costs of getting the materials there, of getting the presenters there, things like that was just, it was just too high. So we tried it. You guys asked us to. We tried it. But it just economically doesn't make sense for us. So that's why we didn't continue doing live events in other places. That's why it just happens in Arkansas in October.
Yes, but that was the story of why we got those RVs.
Yeah.
And, you know, we continued to RV in those. Steve and Kathy Joe, they began doing some RV repair and maintenance training with Terry Cooper, who we mentioned earlier. He's the Texas RV professor. He's been in the RV industry for, I don't even know now, 40 years or something.
Oh gosh, yeah, a long time.
So they used their motorhome to do a lot of traveling all around the country to put on RV maintenance and repair seminars with Terry. And that was going really well, but they were having a difficult time finding good locations with rooms for training that had sites available for groups of 30 or so people. And
right.
it was just a lot to figure out and manage and keep track of and, you know, do that while also trying to run Work Camper News. And luckily yeah. for them, at that time, Jody and I had moved into our fifth wheel because, you know, we had this beautiful fifth wheel and it was basically a small apartment and we were also paying for our house. And, you know, you're paying for both of these things and you start looking at the fifth wheel like, you know, why it's got a washer and dryer. It's got all
it's
the
got
things
enough.
That we would need to yeah. live in it And it just so happened that there was space behind the WordCamper News office for it. In fact, we left it there most of the time.
Yeah.
So we decided, what the heck, let's put the house up for sale and we'll move full-time into the fifth wheel.
That's right. I mean, we were already at the office for, you know, 12 to 14 hours a day anyway.
Yeah.
So we might as well live there also.
Right. Which, in retrospect, probably wasn't the best idea. But maybe not. That's what happened.
That's what happened.
So
we became full-time RVers then. That was 2014 or 2015, I think. Anyway, doesn't really matter what year it was. But
yeah.
But Steve and Kathy Joe were traveling quite a bit,
and
we've had, I mean, ever since, like, it, the WordCamper News team, we've had our ups and downs. If any of you are business owners, you understand finding great employees is the hardest thing to do in your business, and when you find a good one, oh my gosh, you hang on to them as much as you can. So we had had Bill for 13 years. You know, he stayed on when my family purchased and helped us. But Bill retired in 2013. And my mom, Kathy Jo, also decided to retire around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also in there, we had made the decision. Actually, in 2013, that's when we started working with a company out of Batesville, Arkansas, called Pleth. And we had decided that it was time to redo the WordCamper News website and back end systems as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that was quite an undertaking
for us.
Quite
an undertaking.
Yeah. So Bill and Kathy Joe retired. We were embarking on this website revamp. And Steve and Kathy Joe were traveling most of the time. And so for a while, WordCamper News was just Luke and Jody. And
and that was a lot. That was a lot to deal with.
An interesting time. So, I mean, it's just a lot. It feels like it should be simpler, but it's not.
It is. Yeah.
It's just not, because this isn't a hobby for us. This is our passion. This is our livelihood. And luckily, we do have more team members now that help us.
Yeah.
And we're able to, you know, provide the jobs for them and support them as well. So this is a true small business. We're not just hobbyists that made a website for fun. So
So it's definitely not just a website for fun. It's all custom, and there's a lot of stuff that it's not just like.
It's not a template that you just plug stuff into.
No, it's
everything's
all
custom
built stuff. But that being said, it's a lot of work to lay out all the specifics of how everything works and work with a company to rebuild all of that. So that, in addition to all the normal daily activities, I mean, it makes sense why we moved into behind the office, because we were literally there working all of the time.
That
was our lives.
And at that time, we had a couple other staff members with us that we had brought on. So it wasn't all on our back. So we launched the website and it got out there.
Almost a 2-year process to get that website launched.
And that's the website that you guys are using now.
Yep.
So in the time since 2015, Steve and Kathy Joe, they were still traveling and with the Coopers.
Terry and Aveda Cooper doing their RV maintenance roadshow stuff.
Absolutely. And from that training and just the connections that they'd been making with the students and what was going on in the RV industry, together they ended up developing what is now the National RV Inspectors Association and also the National RV Training Academy. And there's actually a physical location for that now. They did stop doing the live events in different locations, as it's just simpler for them to now do things under one roof in one location. But so that keeps Steve pretty busy. And as we mentioned, you know, before, Kathy Jo had retired from WordCamper News operations. And so with Steve really ramrodding and developing that new industry with Cooper, that left Luke and I to kind of have a larger role in how things were going in with WordCamper News. And but we did take a little bit of a step back. We moved away from the office. So that was a positive thing that we did in 2017. And in that time as well, in the years after 2015, we sold our fifth wheel, our beloved Cece.
After we did some traveling in it, we did go some places, but then we eventually got rid of the fifth wheel.
We did. It was time to be in a house again, and just spread out a little bit, which our cats were very pleased with as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't want to stop traveling, because I'm sure those of you guys who have pets, you know how nice it is to be able to travel with your pets and not leave them at home to be taken care of by someone. So we got rid of the fifth wheel, but not long after, we ended up acquiring a Class C motorhome. That's Mr. Scotch. And so now we travel part-time in Mr. Scotch when we can get away from the office and have some fun things, which we did Alaska in 2019, and that was amazing. So definitely recommend doing that. So let's, thinking back about some of the other resources that we've worked on, I know, you know, we've kind of talked about ourselves a little bit here, but as far as what was going on with WordCamper News as well, the last few years, some different resources that we've created.
Yeah, I mean, with the new site that we built and launched in 2015, we did have some new cool features that we tried to build into the new site. And we've still worked on adding new things along the years that we've been rocking and rolling with this new site. But and of course, when we do the new site again, coming up in the next year or two, we'll have even more new things. So we do try to continue to build and grow, and we listen to feedback from customers, and we try to, you know, make the tools better, and there's always room for improvement. But
for sure.
But in 2015, with that website launch, we did have some other tools we added, which are like the member map tool, which you can talk about that, Jody.
Yeah, and we thought that was great. It kind of stems off of that community website that we had created, you know, years before that. And it's just a way, so a WordCamper can put their pin in the map to say where they're located. And then WordCamper members, as you guys move around, we hope you're moving your pin to your new location that you're at. And so this would help then with connecting to fellow WordCampers in your area. Or also, we thought it would be good if you're researching an employer that's located in a specific location, you could search for that location on the member map and contact WordCampers that have their pin in that area, and then see if those WordCampers happen to be working for that employer that you're interested in working in, and contact them and maybe get some more information. So just further connecting WordCampers, as we know, getting information and researching an employer ahead of time is a really important aspect to making sure that work camping opportunity is going to be right for you. So most of the tool development that we have is working towards that goal, to helping you guys find the right job. And mm-hmm. So the member map did that. And then we also added, we've had what are called situation wanted ads, and those are like work wanted ads ran by work campers. And we've always had those. Well, I guess not always. At some point, Greg and Debbie added those to the magazine. I didn't write down what year that occurred. But so those ads are in the magazine. Our WordCamper members can do that. But we also added an online one as well. So employers can search through those work wanted ads on the website, as well as looking at them in the magazine. So that was another enhancement. And I'm trying to remember, we have our job alert emails that go out, and I was trying to remember, I think that came out before, though. We did that before we launched the new site.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it might have been a few years before that, but I really like the job alert tool. So that's kind of, it's in addition to the daily hotline jobs email, because that email that goes out in the evening has all of the job listings for that day. But the job alerts are cool, because a member can select the states that they're interested in working in. Like, because if you really want to go to Oregon next summer, maybe you really just only want to see the jobs that are in Oregon. So you can select on your account to receive job alerts for Oregon. And so any new hotline ads that come in for Oregon, you will receive that full ad text to your email as soon as that ad is posted to the website. So it's a really cool feature for work campers who are on the hunt for that next work camping
sure.
job. Yeah. So that was a cool feature that we built in at some point.
Yeah.
So that was something. And then 2016 was kind of a quieter year, but in 2017, we did a change up as well.
That was when we did the, what, the work camper experiences section? Yeah. So that's a tool that we, I mean, we kind of had that before in the forums website, but we had retired the forums when we launched the new version of the website in 2015. I think it was when we got rid of that.
It was 20, I think the forums retired more.
Was that in 2016?
Maybe it was 20.
It doesn't matter.
Anyway.
At some point, we got rid of the forums.
Yeah.
Because so, they've been taken over by Facebook.
Social media killed our forum site. Yeah.
Yeah,
but that's all right.
So, but the idea of WordCampers leaving reviews, basically, you know, telling about their experiences with different employers, that turned into what we called WordCamper Experiences. So that tool is still alive and well and allows WordCampers to go and post about their experience working for an employer, whether it was positive or negative, or if you're just looking for information about a specific employer. So that's a really helpful tool to find out more about an employer while doing your research before, you know, accepting a position and traveling across the country to go work for someone that you don't know anything about. So,
yeah. And so in 2017, what we did is we connected that tool with the hotline ads. So those of you guys who are getting our hotline jobs email, you'll see if that employer has any listing in the WordCamper Experiences tool, there's a link to it.
It
right
automatically
from that
puts
ad.
It in there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of, you know, we're trying to be a one-stop shop for you guys, and that direct link is super cool. So that was something. And then in 2019, we added the platinum level membership because before we just had one level. And so at that time, we decided to expand to three. And so that platinum level membership, with that, we started doing the main benefit, in my opinion, to the platinum level is the work history verification. And so when work campers add a work history entry to their resume, a work camping job that they've had, Work Camper News will call, the work camper requests to have it verified by us. And so Work Camper News will then call that employer, and Sandra makes the calls, and she's just super nice. And so everybody loves talking to her. So Work Camper News calls the employer to verify that work history entry, and then if we are able to verify it, it shows as verified on your resume. And that's a beneficial thing because it takes some of the legwork away from the employer.
From the employer, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully it saves them some time and provides them more peace of mind when making hiring decisions. They have that one extra piece of information that, oh, okay, this is a verified work history. Because I mean, technically, with our resume builder, you could go in and put anything you want on there, just like any other resume that you're creating. You could always embellish, but that feature, you know, allows a little bit of third party verification. So that's the idea behind that, and you know,
and it's been good. It makes your resume stand out amongst others because employers can select to only see resumes that have verified work history. So if you are a work camper who's had one or more work camping jobs under your belt, I would behoove you to become a platinum member and get those work history entries verified to make yourself look super awesome on your resume. And that's in our awesome applicants resume system. I know we kind of mentioned it earlier, but we didn't really talk a lot about it, but that's probably a whole other podcast in itself.
But I mean, just to tell you the basic idea, if you're not familiar with it, it's a resume database that, you know, work campers get to go in and create their resume on workcamper.com, and then our employer members can search that resume. So you know, it's a pretty simple tool to get in there, and it's sectioned out. It just asks you for your information, your RV type, your previous history, your skills.
What you're interested in, availability date.
And then it has what we call your sell yourself section, where you can type up whatever you want in there.
And there's an example in there if you need a sample to model off of. We wanted to make it easy for y'all.
Because you're doing... you're working with employers that may be across the country, and it's not as easy to come in for an in-person interview. Employers can't
they can't force you to provide photos, but that resume builder does have the place for you to put up to 3 photos. Mm-hmm. And even a video if you wanted. You could add a YouTube video with like a short introduction of yourself or something. So
absolutely.
All of that stuff is built into the resume builder. And like I said, the employers can search that resume database based on all of the different criteria that you've entered into that resume. So
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And we've got some ideas on how to make that better with the next go around as well. And we're constantly trying to, I hope you're getting the idea that we're constantly trying to tweak and refine and make things better and easier for us and for, more importantly, you, the work camper and the employer. So,
and we're doing it securely. So when you're creating your resume at Work Camper News or running a situation wanted ad on our website, your information is not posted to the open internet like it is on other websites of a similar premise. So your phone number, your email, your location, you know, details about your RV, your address, things like that are only available to our paid, logged in employer members.
Yeah.
And that's just something identity theft and internet fraud is so rampant nowadays. And I just get so concerned when I see people, you know, sharing so much on the internet, whether it's social media, other websites. And so, you know, we don't want anybody to have to go through the hassle of that. And so
for sure,
we're really confident in keeping things secure and safe for our members and employers as well. So,
yeah.
Okay, so back to 2019, in that year, we also made a great connection with the one and only Greg Gerber. And you guys know him as the host of this podcast. And he's been in the RV industry for a very long time. He's a writer and a journalist. And we've contracted with him to do this podcast as well as write most of the articles for Work Camper News Magazine. And this has been a wonderful relationship. And I am so proud of the content we've been providing in our magazine the last couple of years. I believe it's been quality and helpful content. So he's been a true asset to Work Camper News and a good friend as well. And it's hard to believe that this podcast has been going over a year now. Like, I just don't know where the time has gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
It's blowing by.
It is.
Pandemic and all.
Yeah. All right. And so now back to the present day.
Present day. Yep. Yep. Back into the end of 2020 is where we're at right now. And we're looking at a rebuild of the website again, as we mentioned previously, and trying to put together all of the information to work with a new development team to really get this thing rocking and rolling. And like we said, we have high hopes for getting an app created and developed to make your life easier, make your work camping job searches friendlier, more convenient, and quicker. So looking forward to all the great things that we have to come.
Yeah. You know, Work Camper News has been great, and the model that Greg and Debbie provided for us was a really, really strong foundation. And we were able to carry on with that foundation and just build onto it for many years. But we're getting to the point now where it's time to enhance and maybe change things up a little bit. 'Cause we, as the leader in the work camping community, you know, we need to set the tone for the tools and the resources. And we know you guys need more and want more to make this lifestyle easier for you. And that's going to be our goal with the next version of the website and also an app to go along with it to just make that experience better. And technology
has just changed so much. I mean, we talked about doing an app, a mobile phone app.
Years ago.
Yeah, with the last version of the website, but at the time, and even still to today, it's still true, you still have to develop these apps for all the different ecosystems. So you need one for Apple, you need one for Android. It's you don't just build one app and it works for all of them. Well, you can now with some different technologies, but it just depends on which web technology you go with and which app technology you build it in and all of this stuff. So regardless, the point is, it's going to be awesome. So, you know, stay tuned. And
all right. So for those of us who fell asleep while the geek was speaking.
Oh, I barely got into it.
No, so we have a lot to look forward to in the future, and we hope our members will stay with us, and those of you who are new to work camping will just be able to feel supported by what we're providing. And we'll still likely stay with our membership structure where folks join and pay some kind of membership, just because, as you guys maybe have gleaned on, like it's just a lot. We sent over 100,000 emails a day, easy.
Yeah.
And so the email service alone and the cost of having that. So there will still be some kind of membership structure to it. But, you know, our main membership now, our diamond level membership is $47 for a year. And membership in 2007 was $42. So, like, even though we just keep, well, we hope and we feel we keep making things better, like, we're really trying to keep things at a reasonable rate for our members. And we understand, you know, many RVers lead a very frugal lifestyle. So we're going to continue to try to keep membership very reasonable, but we're still going to be a membership entity going forward.
Yeah.
Into the future as well. But we're excited with the technology today of what we can do to expand and make things really awesome for you guys. And with the team we have now, we've got 4 gals working with us in the office, and they're some of the nicest people. Those of you who've talked to Sandra, I mean, you can't find a nicer person. And, you know, Shannon is hilarious, and Jamie and Laura, like, you can't go wrong with any of them. They're so great. And so we're just really looking forward to the future. I mean, I can't say it enough. I know things are weird right now in the world, and 2020 has been very odd and tough for a lot of people. But we're super blessed in that the industry we found ourselves in is even almost growing during this pandemic time. Yeah. With so many people coming on board to the RV lifestyle. I know not all of them are going to become work campers, as many of them are just part-time RVers looking to do vacations here and there in a new way that maybe they hadn't before. But, you know, hopefully it does open the doors for many people to change their lives and transition into a lifestyle that they've been dreaming about. And many of you listening to this are still dreaming about becoming RVers. And Work Camper News is going to be here to support you in achieving that dream. That's what we're here for and what I get excited about.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, all right. So that's, I think, a pretty good layout of our history so far.
Yeah.
And if you have more questions or want to hear more, come down to Arkansas.
Join us for rendezvous.
In October, hopefully. Hopefully get to do it. Fingers crossed. Yeah.
Back in action.
So. Or come through town anytime. We do have a physical office next to the bowling alley.
Right.
So come say hi and then bowl a few games and in beautiful Heber Springs, Arkansas. Anyway. So thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate you listening to our podcast and being on our social media, being a member, and just living and loving the work camping lifestyle.
Absolutely. Sorry, I can't think of anything to say.
It's always hard to wrap these things up.
Yeah.
Should we go out singing?
Ho, ho, ho.
Merry Christmas. All right, that wasn't singing, but it was close enough. Thanks, everybody.
It was a lot of fun listening to Jody and Luke Duquette explain how they became involved in Work Camper News. I really appreciate them taking time to outline the company's history and provide the backstory regarding how some very popular features came into existence. It is really incredible how the work camping concept came to be and how the right people came along at just the right time to move the venture forward. It's also pretty amazing how the magazine played a role in the development of what is now the largest RV training facility in America that teaches people how to fix their own RVs and work as professional inspectors and technicians too. What I truly admire about all the activities surrounding the development of Work Camper News and its expansion over the years is that it was all done to help two sets of people. The first was to help employers address a need to hire quality people to fill short-term jobs. That's not often easy because local people generally don't want to work a few months and then start looking for another job. But RVers love those type of opportunities. The second group WorkCamper News seeks to help is RVers themselves. Back when the publication was first produced, generally people were about 60 years old before they bought their first RV, and they were often retired before they could even consider traveling in an RV full-time. WorkCamper News changed that by making younger people aware of all the ways they could finance their travel dreams long before they were old enough to retire. The advent of the internet was like pouring gasoline onto a brush fire. People were no longer dependent upon a specific location. They could work from anywhere as long as they had electricity and an internet connection. COVID-19, as bad as it has been for the world, was a boom for WorkCamper News because more and more people embraced the concept of working remotely from their RVs. The WorkCamper organization has responded to the flood of working RVers by developing a number of resources to help people find jobs and enjoy the RV lifestyle. I strongly encourage people to check out all the features and benefits mentioned by Jody and Luke by visiting www.workcamper.com. There are several copycat websites that post job announcements, but nobody, and I mean nobody, has the level of content from videos to feature articles to tools that WorkCamper News offers to help anyone realize their travel dreams at any age. Be sure to check out the membership options offered by the 33-year-old WorkCamper organization by visiting www.workcamper.com. This episode is sponsored by the National RV Training Academy in Athens, Texas. The Academy's one-week live training or home study course will teach you everything you need to know to fix about 80% of the problems people experience with their RVs. You can also sign up for additional training to become an RV inspector, campground technician, or to provide mobile RV service. For more information, visit www.nrvta.com. That's all we have for this special 100th episode of The WorkCamper Show. We'll be back next week with another great interview of a couple who loves RVing and work camping. Thanks for listening.